You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, a very sinful person named Helen, that having gone to church, she accidentally heard a sermon on the rosary. And as she went out, she bought one, but carried it hidden so that it should not be seen. Afterwards, she began to recite it, and although she recited it without devotion, the Most Holy Virgin infused into her heart such consolation and sweetness in it that she could not cease repeating it. And by this, she was inspired with such a horror of her evil life that she could find no peace and was forced, as it were, to go to confession. She confessed with so much contrition that the confessor was amazed. Having finished her confession, she went immediately before an altar of the Blessed Virgin to thank her advocate, and she recited her rosary, and the Divine Mother spoke to her from her image and said, "Helen, you have too long offended God and me. Henceforth, change your life, and I will bestow upon you many of my favors." The poor sinner in confusion answered, "Ah, Most Holy Virgin, it is true that hitherto I have been very sinful, but thou who art all-powerful, assist me. I give myself to thee and pass the remainder of my life in doing penance for my sins." Assisted by Mary, Helen bestowed all her goods upon the poor and commenced a rigorous penance. She was tormented by dreadful temptations, but she continued to recommend herself to the Mother of God, and always with her aid came off victorious. She was favored also with many supernatural graces, as visions and revelations and prophecies. At last, before her death, of which she had been warned a few days previously by the Blessed Mother, the Virgin herself came with her son to visit her. And in death, the soul of this sinner was seen in the form of a beautiful dove ascending to heaven. Can the faith of this young lady here, Helen, be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning, and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. There are so many similar stories like this, related by saints who had an extraordinary deep devotion for the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, who sits at the right hand of her Son. The Blessed Mother, whose echo was seen on earth, whereby the Queen of Israel was not the wife of the king, but the mother of the king. Whereby, as I've mentioned in previous sessions, it was the mother of the king that sat at the right-hand side of her son. It was the mother of the king of Israel, whose throne was at the right hand of her son. And so it was that this earthly echo was a imitation, was a reflection on the true king and the true queen, not just of Israel, but of earth, not just of earth, but also heaven. And yet we're living in a culture today that is in rebellion to Christ the King, that is in rebellion to the Queen of Heaven herself. There is this revolution, this rebellion in this once Christian West, which has overthrown the established order that God had so willed. It is a revolution, a rebellion in our culture today, in our nation today, against Christ the King and His Church, against Christ the King, His Church, and the Queen of Heaven, the Blessed Mother. And this revolution in our culture today has brought nothing but social, spiritual, and moral disorder. But then again, if you think of it, revolutions and rebellions, by their very nature, destroys the old order and puts chaos and confusion in its place. It puts chaos and confusion and sin on the throne.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
St. Alphonsus Liguori, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, and the founder of the Redemptorist Congregation, wrote an extraordinary book titled the, among other books, titled The Glories of Mary. And St. Alphonsus Liguori had this extraordinary devotion, as practically every single great saint in history has, to the Blessed Mother. And hence he wrote this wonderful book. As I mentioned previously, in ancient Israel, it was the mother of the king who sat at the right hand side of her son. And interestingly, if ancient Israel, if you had a petition with which you wanted to present to the king of Israel, and if you wanted a favorable review of your petition, you would approach somebody within the court of the House of David, who would then bring your petition to the attention of the king. And if you were very fortunate, you would enlist the support of the Aser HaBayat, the steward of the House of David, to bring your petition to the attention of the king. But if you were really lucky and really truly wanted a favorable outcome in review of your petition to the king, you would approach the queen mother, and ask her to intercede for you with her son. You would bring the petition to the Queen Mother and ask that she intercede for you. And this ancient example from the House of David in ancient Israel with the kings of Israel is an extraordinary reflection of the true reality of the true King of Kings and the true Queen of Queens, whereby in the House of Israel, you would approach the Queen Mother to bring your petition to her son. And so it is with the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, and where through our prayers, we ask that she intercedes for us on behalf of her son. In this book, The Glories of Mary, St. Alphonsus Liguori writes this: the Holy Church justly honors the Great Virgin Mary and would have her honored by all men with the glorious title of Queen, because she has been elevated to the dignity of Mother of the King of Kings. If the Son is King, so says Saint Athanasius, his mother must necessarily be considered and entitled Queen. From the moment that Mary consented, adds Saint Bernardine of Siena, to become the mother of the Eternal Word, she merited the title of Queen of the world and of all creatures. If the flesh of Mary's, says Saint Arnold the Abbot, was the flesh of Jesus, how can the mother be separated from the Son in his kingdom? If Jesus is the King of the whole world, Mary is also Queen of the whole world. Therefore, says St. Bernardine of Siena again, all creatures who serve God ought also to serve Mary. For all angels and men and all things that are in heaven and on earth, being subject to the dominion of God, are also subject to the dominion of the glorious Virgin. And as I have said many times on this program here, the true King of Canada is not somebody in a far-off land in Buckingham Palace, or nor someone who resides near Parliament Hill in Ottawa. The true King of Canada, whether it is acknowledged by one, many, or none in this nation, regardless, is Christ the King. And so it follows that the rightful Queen of Canada, again, does not reside in Buckingham Palace, nor anywhere near Parliament Hill in Ottawa, or Queen's Park in Ontario. The true Queen of Canada, in fact, of every single nation on earth, the true Queen of Canada, whether acknowledged by one, many, or none, is the Blessed Mother, Mary. If she is Queen of Heaven, it stands to reason that she is Queen of Earth. If she is Queen of Heaven and Queen of Earth, that stands to reason that she's also the Queen of Italy, of France and Germany, of the United States, of Canada, of Saudi Arabia, of Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt, Morocco, Australia, Thailand, China, every single nation on earth is required to bow their knees, bend their knees, bow their heads to the King of Kings and the Queen of Queens. And as so much as we do not do that and conform ourselves to the will of the King of Kings and the Queen of Queens, then we are in rebellion to the rightful King and Queen of our nations, of the rightful King and Queen of Canada. St. Alphonsus goes on to write, if Jesus is, actually, he writes, Mary then is queen, but let all learn for their consolation that she is a mild and merciful queen, desiring the good of us poor sinners. Hence the Holy Church, now listen to this, St. Alphonsus writes, hence the Holy Church bids us to salute her in this prayer and name her the Queen of Mercy. Mary, the Queen of Mercy. Extraordinary. Goes on to write that the greatness of kings and queens consists in comforting the wretched, as the ancient Roman writer Seneca says, so that whereas tyrants in reigning have only their advantage in view, kings should have for their object the good of their subjects. Therefore, at the consecration of kings, their heads are anointed with oil, which is the symbol of mercy, to denote that they, in reigning, should above all things cherish thoughts of kindness and beneficence towards their subjects. He goes on to write that kings should then principally occupy themselves with works of mercy, but not to the neglect of the exercise of justice towards the guilty when it is required. And here he makes an interesting distinction. He writes, but not so with Mary, who, although queen, is not queen of justice, intent upon the punishment of the guilty, but queen of mercy, solely intent upon compassion and pardon for sinners. Accordingly, the Church requires us explicitly to call her Queen of Mercy. Interesting distinction here that St. Alphonsus makes, whereby kings have the authority of mercy, but also of the exercise of justice towards the guilty when it is required. But not so with Mary, who he writes, although is queen, is not queen of justice, intent upon the punishment of the guilty, but queen of mercy. The queen of heaven is queen of mercy. The queen of our nation, of our rebellious nation, Canada, that is in spiritual and moral rebellion to God. Our queen is the queen of mercy, who is willing to take our petition to her son, who is willing to plead on our behalf with her son, who is willing to take our pleadings of mercy and repentance to the throne of her son. We have the Queen of Heaven, the Queen of Mercy, who has made herself readily available to us, her subjects, if but we were to call upon her and ask that she plead for us with her son. He goes on to write, the High Chancellor of Paris, John Gerson, meditating on the words of David, quote, these two things have I heard, that power belongeth to God and mercy to thee, O Lord, says that the kingdom of God, consisting of justice and mercy, the Lord has divided it. He has reserved the kingdom of justice for himself, and he has granted the kingdom of mercy to Mary, ordaining that all the mercies which are dispensed to men should pass through the hands of Mary and should be bestowed according to her good pleasure. Wow. St. Thomas confirms this in his preface to the canonical epistles, saying that the Holy Virgin, when she conceived the divine word in her womb and brought him forth, obtained the half of the kingdom of God by becoming Queen of Mercy, with Jesus Christ remaining King of Justice. The Eternal Father constituted Jesus Christ King of Justice and therefore made him the universal judge of the world. Hence the prophet sang, give to the king thy judgment, O God, and to the king's son thy justice. Here a learned interpreter takes up the subject and says, O Lord, thou hast given to thy son thy justice, because thou hast given to the mother of the king thy mercy. And as St. Bonaventure happily varies the passage above, quoted, by saying, give to the king thy judgment, O God, and to his mother thy mercy. Ernest, Archbishop of Prague also says that the Eternal Father has given to the Son the office of judging and punishing, and to the Mother the office of compassionating and relieving the wretched. Therefore, the prophet David predicated that God himself, if I may thus express it, would consecrate Mary, Queen of Mercy, anointing her with the oil of gladness, in order that all of us, miserable children of Adam, might rejoice in the thought of having in heaven that great Queen so full of the unction of mercy and pity for us. As Saint Bonaventure says, O Mary, so full of the unction of mercy and the oil of pity, that God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zompanti.
It is so sad that the great books and writings of these great saints throughout the centuries have become neglected and are sitting on dusty shelves and archives in many Catholic institutions and many Catholic homes, whereby many Catholics themselves are not even aware of these extraordinary writings of these great saints that are so full of extraordinary insight into the faith, into our Lord, into the Blessed Mother. And so it is that St. Alphonsus Liguori here writes again in his book, The Glories of Mary. And he says, "And how well does Blessed Albertus Magnus here apply the history of Queen Esther, who was indeed a type of our Queen Mary? We read in the fourth chapter of the book of Esther in the Old Testament that in the reign of King Ahasuerus, there went forth throughout his kingdom a decree commanding the death of all the Jews. Then Mordecai, who was one of the condemned, committed their cause to Esther, that she might intercede with the king to obtain the revocation of the sentence. At first, Queen Esther refused to take upon herself this office, fearing that it would excite the anger of the king more. But Mordecai rebuked her and bade her remember that she must not think of saving herself alone, as the Lord had placed her upon the throne to obtain salvation for all the Jews. Think not that thou mayest save thy life only, because thou art in the king's house more than all the Jews. And thus said Mordecai to Queen Esther, and thus might we poor sinners say to our Queen Mary, that if she were ever reluctant to intercede with God for our deliverance from the just punishment of our sins. Think not that thou mayest save thy life only because thou art in the king's house more than all men. Think not, O Lady, that God has exalted thee to be queen of the world only to secure thy own welfare, but also that thou, being so greatly elevated, mayest the more compassionate and the better relieve us miserable sinners." And the Persian king Ahasuerus, when he saw Esther before him, affectionately inquired of her what she had come to ask of him. "What is thy petition?" And then the Jewish queen answered to her Persian king, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, give me my people for which I request." King Ahasuerus heard her and immediately ordered the sentence to be revoked. Now, if King Ahasuerus granted to Esther, because he loved her, the salvation of the Jews, will not God graciously listen to Mary in his boundless love for her, when she prays to him for those poor sinners who recommend themselves to her and says to him, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, my king and my God, if I have ever found favor with thee, and well does the Divine Mother know herself to be the blessed, the fortunate, the only one of the children of men who found the grace lost by man, she knows herself to be the beloved of her Lord, more beloved than all the saints and angels united. Give me my people for which I request. If thou lovest me," she says to him, "give me, O my Lord, these sinners in whose behalf I entreat thee? Is it possible that God will not graciously hear her? Again, just like in the kings of Israel, and also here in the story of this Persian king and his Jewish queen, out of love for their queen, the kings graciously granted their requests. And so too it is with the Blessed Mother. We have this extraordinary advocate who has the ear of the divine king, of the divine judge, of her son. And yet how many times do we take advantage of this opportunity that we miserable wretches truly do not deserve? Soiled by the stain of sin, we can approach the Queen of Heaven and plead that she mercifully intercede on our behalf. And yet we are living in a nation that is in rebellion to God's mercy. And if we are a nation that is in rebellion to God's mercy, in rebellion to the Queen of Mercy, we as a nation, as individuals, will have to face God's justice. Again, here St. Alphonsus writes, "Is it possible that God will not graciously hear her? Is there anyone who does not know the power of Mary's prayers with God? The law of clemency is on her tongue. Every prayer of hers is as a law established by our Lord, that mercy shall be exercised towards those for whom Mary intercedes." St. Bernard says, or asks, "Why does the Church name Mary Queen of Mercy?" And he answers, "Because we believe that she opens the depths of the mercy of God to whom she will, and when she will, and as she will, so that not even the vilest sinner is lost if Mary protects him. But it may perhaps be feared that Mary disdains interposing in behalf of some sinners because she finds them so laden with sin. Perhaps the majesty and sanctity of this great queen should alarm us." "No," says St. Gregory. "In proportion to her greatness and holiness are her clemency and mercy towards sinners who desire to amend and who have recourse to her." Extraordinary. Our Blessed Mother's greatness and holiness are in proportion to her clemency and mercy towards sinners. He goes on to write, "Kings and queens inspire terror by the display of their majesty, and their subjects fear to enter their presence. But what fear," says St. Bernard, "can the wretched have of going to this Queen of Mercy, since she never shows herself terrible or austere to those who seek her, but all sweetness and kindness? Mary not only gives, but she herself presents to us milk and wool, the milk of mercy to inspire us with confidence and wool to shield us from the thunderbolts of divine justice. Wow. He goes on to write, our queen cannot lie and can obtain whatever she wishes for her devoted servants. She has a heart so kind and compassionate that she cannot send away dissatisfied anyone who invokes her aid. But as Saint Bernard says, how couldst thou, O Mary, refuse succor to the wretched when thou art the Queen of Mercy? And who are the subjects of mercy if not the miserable? Thou art the Queen of Mercy, and I the most miserable of all sinners. He goes on to write, have pity on us then, O Queen of Mercy, and give heed to our salvation. Neither say to us, O Most Holy Virgin, as St. Gregory of Nicomedia would add, that thou canst not aid us because of the multitude of our sins, when thou hast such power and pity that no number of sins can ever surpass it. Nothing resists thy power, since thy Creator and ours, while he honors thee as his mother, considers thy glory as his own, and exulting in it as a son, grants thy petitions as if he were discharging an obligation. By this he means to say that though Mary is under an infinite obligation to her son for having elected her to be his mother, yet it cannot be denied that the son is also greatly indebted to his mother for having given him his human nature. Whence Jesus, as if to recompense Mary as he ought, while he enjoys this his glory, honors her especially by always graciously listening to her prayers and petitions. How great then should be our confidence in this queen? How powerful she is with God. And at the same time, how rich and full of mercy. So much so that there is no one on earth who does not share in the mercies and favors of Mary. This is the Blessed Virgin herself, revealed to Saint Bridget, whereby the Blessed Virgin said, I am, she said to her, the Queen of Heaven and the Mother of Mercy. I am the joy of the just and the gate of entrance for sinners to God. Neither is there living on earth a sinner who is so accursed that he is deprived of my compassion. For everyone, if he receives nothing else through my intercession, receives the grace of being less tempted by evil spirits than he otherwise would be. No one, therefore, she added, who is not entirely accursed, by which is meant the final and irrevocable malediction pronounced against the damned, is so entirely cast off by God that he may not return and enjoy his mercy if he invokes my aid. I am called by all the Mother of Mercy, and truly the mercy of God towards men has made me so merciful towards them. And then she concluded by saying, therefore, he shall be miserable and forever miserable in another life, who in this, being able, does not have recourse to me, who am so compassionate to all and so earnestly desire to aid sinners. Extraordinary. Again, the Blessed Mother here in this revelation to St. Brigid writes, "Therefore he shall be miserable and forever miserable in another life, who in this life, being able, does not have recourse to me and my mercy." Wow. These are the type of things we should be, or should be reflected in sermons, in homilies during Holy Mass. A wake-up call to all those miserable sinners sitting there in the pew who seem to be clueless to that reality. St. Alphonsus continues by saying, "Let us then have recourse. Let us always have recourse to this most sweet Queen. If we would be sure of our salvation, and if the sight of our sins terrifies and disheartens us, let us remember that Mary was made Queen of Mercy for this very end, that she might save by her protection the greatest and most abandoned sinners who have recourse to her. They are to be her crown in heaven, as her divine spouse has said. And what are these dens of wild beasts and monsters if not miserable sinners, whose souls become dens of sins, the most deformed monsters? The true monsters here on earth is a soul, if you think of it. A human soul deformed by sin. The horror of the human soul touched by mortal sin." And again he writes, "Now by these same sinners, as Rupert the Abbot remarks, who are saved by thy means, O great Queen Mary, thou wilt be crowned in heaven, for their salvation will be thy crown, a crown indeed worthy and fit for a Queen of Mercy." And I repeat that once more. Again, listen carefully. He writes, "Now by these same sinners whose souls are deformed by sin, now by these same sinners, as Rupert the Abbot remarks, who are saved by thy means, O great Queen Mary." This great Queen Mary, St. Alphonsus writes, "that thou wilt be crowned in heaven, for their salvation, the salvation of sinners, will be your crown. A crown indeed worthy and fit for a Queen of Mercy." Wow. The crown of the Queen of Mercy, the crown of the Blessed Mother in heaven will be that of the salvation of sinners. That the salvation of sinners will be the crown of the Blessed Mother in heaven. What an extraordinary thought and reality. That the crown that our, the most glorious crown that our Queen of the Blessed Mother will wear in heaven will be that of the salvation of sinners. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Been listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zumpanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.